on your computer, on your Wi-Fi radio, on your iPhone. Commercial-free original talk. Only on LA Talk Radio. Your favorite talk station. Favorite talk station.
You're listening to Talk to Brazil with Tom Rioch, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello everyone and welcome to Talk to Brazil, the world's first English language internet radio program about business in Brazil. I'm Tom Rioch and your host for the show. When you talk to Tom, you talk to Brazil and the world. Talk to Brazil is a weekly talk radio program on LA Talk Radio, where interviewees and business partners come together to talk about business. Founded in 2009, we have interviewed hundreds of professionals and have shared their views regarding business, business culture, corporate training, and executive development in a global economy. Our audience is made up of listeners from all over the world, but mainly the U.S., Canada, Great Britain, India, China, as well as Brazil. Today's program is brought to us by Focus MI Marketing Intelligence, and Focus MI specializes in market research in the agribusiness sector and the heavy earth-moving equipment sector in Brazil. For more information about Focus MI, you can check their site, which is focusmi.com. And also by Spin Tours, that's business tourism, by Eliana Souza, and she's the specialist in inbound visits to Brazil by high-level business executives. Spin Tours is where Eliana has your safety as her top priority for a successful business visit to Brazil. You can find more about Spin Tours at the site spintours.com.br. Today's guest and talking to us from Luxembourg is Stuart Howard. He's a systems manager for a U.S.-based global automotive supplier, and he's the author of X Factor for Generation Y. During his 20 years in management, Stuart has had various positions in large global companies and has benefited greatly from the management training programs they provide. Born and raised in Scotland, Stuart has spent much of his career in Luxembourg, where he now manages an international team of engineers and specialists, many of whom are Generation Y. For the Generation Y, leaving school or the university and trying to define a career in a corporate world can sometimes be daunting. Stuart provides valuable coaching and mentoring advice to the Generation Y, who are seeking their first job, starting a new role, looking to move to their first management position, or just want to improve themselves. So with that, Stuart, thanks for being part of Talk to Brazil, and welcome.
Good afternoon, Tom. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, thank you. And thanks. Actually, it's your evening in Luxembourg, so thank you for sharing your evening with us. But Stuart, let me start out. I saw some of the information that you had sent me. You actually have two children who are also Generation Y-ers. And you mentioned that they were also the product of teaching the book. So was it a big help having somebody in that generation for you to apply your knowledge and then start with the book?
Yeah, I've got two children. So Philip's 20 and Joanna's 18. So they were good input. Obviously, bringing them up over many years, I've tried to focus them on understanding their strengths, understanding personal branding, understanding what their passions are. And basically, I just spoke to them and said, what key things do you need to know when you start your first job? And key advice I've given them over the years. So they helped me. And obviously, when I wrote the chapters, I would give them to them and they gave me constructive feedback.
But is it easier to have Gen Ys at home, or is it easier to work with them at the office? Or is it easy to either side?
It's quite tough, actually. I think bringing up any kid, you need to understand which battles do you fight and which ones you let go, you know. So, you know, you probably, if you've got kids, you go into the room and it's an absolute disaster and you say, okay, do I ask them to clean the room or say no? Let's tackle the main things in their life, like drugs and alcohol, and let's fight those battles and let the others go, you know.
Right. I mean, the less values in a clean room today, right?
Yeah.
Well, what are each of them doing now?
Well, Philip, he left Luxembourg a couple of years ago, and he's back in Scotland. He's studying. So he's doing two things. So he's studying at university, doing finance, investment, and risk. But in parallel to that, he's looking at property as well. So he understands that property development and property renovation is long-term. It's a good growth opportunity in the long term. So so he's investing in property. So he's got two or three properties of his own, and he's renovating property for me as well. So he's doing a good job for me over there. Joanna, she's more into marketing and maybe the softer side of business, more HR side. That's where she specializes. So she's probably more empathetic with people and understands people and has got a strong EQ, where Philip's the financial sort of hard-nosed type guy. So they're totally very different kids, which is great, you know.
Well, I think we find that and everybody's different, and not only the kids, but the people are different. Now, I take it that she picked up on your advice about personal branding then?
Yes, it's an interesting one, Tom, because personal branding, as I say, well, I'm Generation X, and my parents would say to me, Stuart, you never get a second chance to make a first impression. And my daughter actually, well, what I say to my daughter, I said, now, for Generation Y, they don't even get the first chance to make the first impression. And if I maybe explain that point, Tom, my daughter came in one day, I was in the kitchen, she came into the kitchen and said, Dad, I've got a good opportunity of a summer internship at this major publisher in London. I said, that's great, Joanna, that's fantastic. Fantastic. She said, but I need to do my CV. And I said, don't bother, it's already done. And she said, what do you mean? I said, well, I can Google you right now and can find out much more about you than you're going to put on that CV. I can go into Facebook or LinkedIn, I can see your profile, all your friends and what they like, and I can see much, much more about. And that's the stuff that really matters to employer. What's in Facebook, what's their key friends, and who are the people that influence them? So I said, Joanna, don't bother with your CV. You don't need to do it. They've already seen it online.
Just give them a couple links. But that, I think that is an eye-opener, because I also here in Brazil and in some of my training programs deal with trainees and youth development groups, and they really don't understand that what they're placing out in the social media is sort of what I say, it's written and it's chiseled into the granite. You can't take it away, and more companies are looking at that.
That's right, Tom. More and more companies are looking at LinkedIn and Facebook, but it's the other way around as well. I met a guy recently, Stephen. I met him on the bus just coming out of Luxembourg, and he said, oh, I've just got this new job. And I said, that's excellent. And I said, what do you do? He said, I went on LinkedIn. I knew I was going to get an opportunity for an interview with this company. I went on LinkedIn to my network, and I found someone that I knew years ago that worked for this company. Then what he did was he found out from that person the two people that are going to interview him. Then he did research on LinkedIn on the internet to find out about the two managers that were going to interview him. So he was doing not only researching the company, but the managers as well.
Right,
and he said
right.
It went fantastic. He had the interview, he talked about golf and all sorts of stuff, and he said he nailed the interview and he got the job. So it works both ways. Companies can review, obviously, employees or prospective employees, but vice versa, you know. In fact, also, Tom, it's another interesting one. It was my daughter also, she had a boyfriend a few months ago, and she said, oh, Dad, my boyfriend's father's already checked me out on LinkedIn. Because now you can see who's... now you can see, as you know, in LinkedIn, now you can see who's looked at your profile. So that's an interesting angle on it as well, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I think I see that too as really two different avenues. And my suggestion, obviously, LinkedIn is the professional platform. Facebook, and I've seen a number of different things. Facebook is more for the leisure and more for personal interest. But I do think that the younger, but all persons actually, you really need to create a balance between that. Sometimes people mix everything up. And I think sometimes the suggestion is keep it separate. Keep your personal life separate from your professional life.
Yeah, I try and do that on Facebook. I do look at Facebook, but I do see some professionals at work that are on it as well. So although I know what they're doing and where they've been, I don't interact at that level. If it's business, I try and keep that to LinkedIn and try and keep them, as you say, try and keep them separate. But I also find... Tom, if you go on Facebook, if you put a motivational quote up there, a blog, you might get one like or one comment if you're lucky. But if you say your car's broken down and your dog's died, you get 16 likes and lots of comments. Yeah. So it's strange the way people are on Facebook. You know, it's, if things go bad, they like that and they say like. But and LinkedIn's obviously more professional, and that's where you keep your blogs and your other professional stuff to that.
Now, that's true. Now, within the companies, you deal with the Generation Y rather closely. I guess within your group, you have a number of them. What has changed in corporations? You're working for an American company. Is it different from an American company in Europe or European companies? Is there the concern around these generations, and specifically the Generation Y, and how can you reach them? How do you incorporate them into a corporate culture?
It can be difficult, Tom. I think with American companies, sometimes they're open to new technology or bring your own devices and bring mobile devices into the workplace. In Europe, we're not as advanced, so it can be different even within the company itself. So in Europe, we're not so open to bring your own device and bring your own tablets and laptops to work. But Gen Y, they can be challenging, and I'm being general here because it obviously doesn't pertain to all. But they can be challenging, and there's many negatives that people think about them, that they're lazy, they don't work hard. But for me, that's not true. They're very, very committed. But you just need to light their passion, understand their strengths, and point them in the right direction, and try and be the best manager you can to them, almost like a coach and a mentor as well. But I find them exciting to work for. I really enjoy working with them.
What I've seen, and I think you probably do the same, that they have a capacity, as you mentioned, tablets and smartphones and any other device. They certainly do have a capacity to be linked and hooked up to several different things at the same time, and they can actually carry on three or four conversations simultaneously, which sometimes is striking and shocking for us.
As well, you watch the Gen Yers when they're studying, they're preparing, they're on their smartphone, they're on Facebook, and they're collaborating. When we were at school years ago, if you collaborated, that was cheating, you know.
But now, right.
Yeah, it was cheating, and I can't remember ever being given an assignment where I had to work with two or three other people on a project for school. But certainly for the Gen Yers now, they're to collaborate with two or three others, and they understand what it's like to work as a team and get great. Graded as a team as well, which can also be frustrating if they don't all pull their weight the right way. But as I say, they're fascinating to work with as well. The world's much, much flatter now, as I say. I work with them as well because, as I said, the world's not round anymore. It's flat. The hierarchy's down. So someone two, three levels below me will just chat to me or text me or LinkedIn or vice versa, you know.
Now, do you feel, you say career development, are they interested in a career, or are they just interested in having a place to work and making some money?
Money's a satisfier for them. Obviously, they want money, but I wouldn't say that's the motivator. I think the motivator for Gen Y, they want to get in, they want to feel respected, they want to add value to what they're doing within the company, and they want to see that it has value. They also, they want to feel that they're making a difference within the company, that they're taking on more responsibilities, and they want to be promoted fairly quickly. So where in the past the Gen Xers would sit in an office and do just the same job for 2-3 years and see their time out and climb the ladder slowly, the Gen Yers come in, they want promoted quickly, they want more money quickly, and it's more of a career journey for them. They go from one department, maybe they'll switch to something new, and they really just want to be highly engaged with what they're doing and feel that they're valued, you know. I don't think the money is the motivator for them, but it's certainly they do want the money to at least pay the student loans they've got, you know.
Yeah, well, I've seen in a number of different articles and following different that they don't seem to have a very strong allegiance either to brands or to companies. Do you find that as an issue, trying to create the corporate? Obviously, you're talking about the personal branding, but when someone's working for a corporation, they have to assume part of a corporate branding as well.
Yeah, and I would say you're right, Tom, that in some areas, in some countries, it's hard to keep them. We find that East Europe is harder, where the salary's increasing very, 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 very quickly, it's harder to keep them. They're happy to stay in a job for 1 or 2 years, get some experience, a big name on their CV, and then move on. So they have got very little loyalty, as you say, to brands or companies. And that's why it's more of a challenge, because they say that people don't leave companies, they leave managers. So as a manager, it's particularly challenging. You need to engage with them and coach and mentor them as well and develop them and show that you really have an interest in them and their career as well. And you find that they will stay a bit longer than maybe some others, you know.
As you look across Europe, is the generation Y the same throughout Europe, or is there differences amongst different cultures?
I would say, from what I've seen, it seems similar across Europe. I'd say it's basically because of technology. It's mobile technology. Their network is now global. Where in the past our network may be a radius of 10 miles, let's say, because we've got a small citizen band radio or something like that. But now the world is more global. Is it 1 in 7 are on Facebook? So really, I don't see much of a difference across Europe, and certainly in the UK as well. Not much generally. I deal with France and Germany, Luxembourg, South Africa, Slovenia, and the Gen Yers are typically the same approach.
I think I agree with you when you're talking about the network. Years ago, when I also worked in a corporation, the network was actually part of the corporate establishment. So that network was sort of internal in the company. Whereas today, you may have that, but as we just mentioned, you have all this different access to all the different technologies. So they're also involved in multi-networking.
Yeah, and also, Tom, as I said before, the world's flatter, because a Gen Yer that works for me, if I don't spend some quality time with him and he doesn't think that I'm engaging with him or listening to him, he can bypass me any time he wants and go to my manager or the CEO. And we have these sort of fast tracks of the management program, so the CEO will say, oh, my door's always open, right? Now, to a Gen Xer, we know that doesn't, it's not strictly true. The door's not always open. He just says that to be nice. But for a Gen Yer, they take it literally, don't they? Oh, if the door's open, let me just knock the door, you know, and go in. And they'll bypass 3 or 4 levels of management. And I think the managers of today need to realize that. It's a lot flatter, the workplace now. And it goes both ways. I was on LinkedIn recently, and there was a guy in Turkey that he posted something on LinkedIn to say that he wasn't happy with his manager, and I thought, oh, that's not so good. So I just sent a little personal message, and he said that it was a manager of his old company, and it wasn't the current company he's in. But I thought, okay. But because it's flat, I can then talk to him as well. Right. So it, as I said, it works both ways.
Right. Even though it is flat, things do come around, so... whatever you say, or whatever you put, or whatever you upload, other people can take that as a reference and will judge you from that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's important, and with Gen Y, they like friendships, and they like friendships at work as well, and community, and it's trying to engender that. And what I also find, Tom, is that the lines where it used to be work 9 to 5, those lines are quite grey now. So the Gen Yers, they will work a lot later. But don't expect them to come in at 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock is the middle of the night for them, you know. But they will work much later. Because they've got access to mobile devices, I can talk to them any time, day or night, and they'll respond. So they're excellent that way. But also, I need to be prepared that during the daytime, normal work, they could be on social media sites or on the internet. So it comes and goes. We need to be flexible both ways.
And today's, everything is global, so it's good to align these types of persons with the different time zones. So you do have persons that say that we'd be working later in one time zone, and they could eventually be working with persons in a different time zone, a different continent.
Yeah, it does make us more efficient if we can work across time zones and be flexible.
Back to your book. Where did the book start? Did you start? Did it start at home? Did it start the company? Did it start really directed to the Gen Y, or is it part of the Gen X?
My book, you said.
Yeah, the book. You woke up one morning and said, "I'm going to write a book."
Well, what I found, Tom, that a few people have come to me at work or maybe church or social situations, and they've said, "Stuart, can you coach or mentor me?" And I thought, well, I don't really have time to do that because I've got quite a busy job in the daytime. I don't have a lot of time for that. But what I thought I'd do, like, why don't I capture like 10 key things and build that into a book, and then I can actually distribute that, give that book away or sell that book. And that helps them and gives them sort of 10 key tips. So it's 10 key things I've learned throughout my career that I thought this will help some of the Gen Yers, and it means I don't need to spend a one-on-one time with them as well. So that was where it came from. Yeah.
What are some of the steps? What are some of these tips that you offer to the Gen Y?
Well, what I found is the workforce now, they're more educated than they ever are before. So many have university or college degrees, so they've got an excellent level of education and they're very intelligent. However, some of the Gen Yers, they lack some basic skills. And I say some because it's not fair to say all of them, but some lack basic skills just in the workplace. So what I've tried to do is cover some of the key skills that they should learn. One of the key ones I describe in the book is emotional intelligence. So basically, that's how to understand your own emotions, how to manage those emotions, how to understand the emotions of others, and build good, solid working relationships with others. And if I give you an example of that, it's maybe a funny example, but unfortunately it's a true example that was given to me just a few weeks ago by another Gen Yer. And it was the story about, it was a senior director of a large financial institution here in Luxembourg. So she'd got to a very high level, and she'd got all the benefits that brought. So salary, large office, included a private car parking space as well next to the end. Right. So that was quite good. So that's like, let's say, a Gen Xer. Unfortunately, the director she took not well, and she was admitted to hospital. Right. So she had some medical problems. She was in hospital for a few days and then recovered at home. So in comes our Gen Yer. He's been in the company maybe a year or so, fresh out of university, and he spots an opportunity. So while the doctor's sick in hospital, he writes her an email and says, "Can I use your car parking space because you'll not need it?" Yeah. Right? So, as I say, if it wasn't true, it'd be funny. But this guy showed complete lack of emotional intelligence. Now, to him, it made logical sense. It's only 20 metres square of tarmac, and she wouldn't need it while she's sick in hospital. But he took the opportunity and said, "No, why don't I just use it?" But he's not realised. It's taken her years and years and years to climb the corporate ladder to get that private space, and it's important to her. So he thought, "I'll send an email." And of course, she wrote back and said, "No, you're not going to use it." Right? But unfortunately, that wasn't good enough for our Gen Yer because he used the car parking space anyway. Right?
I see. I'm going to show her, right?
Oh, my goodness. So, of course, she comes back after being at home for many days. He's in the space. And then shortly thereafter, he was asked to find a new job. You know, so. But it's sad, the guy, maybe he's a smart guy, financial institution, the career ahead of him, and just does something really stupid. And it's emotional intelligence, and it's things like that that can catch the Gen Yers out, because they're just really, not only do they not relate to the older generation, but they don't manage and build strong working relationships with others.
No, it's back to what you mentioned there, you know, my door is always open, but you have to take that... with a grain of salt, it may be open. It doesn't mean to just barge in and put anything on the table. You have to respect others in any situation, in the way we communicate.
Yeah, so that's the sort of hidden intelligence these guys need to understand. Also, another chapter I wrote was about strengths. So knowing your strengths as well. Now, mm-hmm. I interviewed a guy, five, 6 years ago now, and what impressed me with him, I was looking for an IT programmer, but what impressed me with him was he was very, very clear on his strengths. He was very, very clear on what he was good at and not, and where he wanted to go and what his long-term goals were. And he said, Stuart, yeah, I'm an IT programmer, but I want to be a team leader and a manager in the future, and I want to do it within 3-4 years. And so that really impressed me, that someone came to an interview and he was really clear what he wanted to do. Because when you're looking for a new employee, you're saying, right. Well, I want to employ them for this job, but they need to be good for the corporation in 5-10 years' time as well, and grow them into that role. So that's also an important quality as well, that the young Gen Yers understand their strengths, and they can set clear goals as well. That's another one.
You mentioned the basic skills. And I also saw, looking at your LinkedIn profile, you were a teacher. You taught at the University of Glasgow. So in a university setting, and this is one of the things I hear here in Brazil, and I'll use that as a parallel, because what we tend to feel that the schools are not preparing today's youth really for working in a real corporate setting. And it gets back to what you just said, some of these basic skills, the emotional intelligence, they're not teaching that. Is that the same? Do you feel that's the same throughout Europe?
For sure. There's no doubt about that. Although I wasn't in direct line lecturing students, I was an employee of Glasgow Uni, but I do find they don't teach them things like branding, goal setting, lifelong learning. I think students think when they leave university with a nice shiny certificate that they can stop reading books and stop learning. It all ends from there on. So you're right, I don't think they teach these basic skills. Also, another chapter in the book is financial intelligence. They definitely don't teach financial intelligence. How do you manage your monthly budget? You know, how do you balance your checkbook at the end of the month? How do you invest for the long term? So the Gen Xers, maybe the Gen Xers think they might still have a job for life, although the gentleman you interviewed last week, Thomas Dowd, understood that, yeah, it wasn't a job for life, and no job is for life. But the Gen Yers understand that they don't have a job for life. It's maybe 2-3 years. So they're not going to get a big pension pot and big benefits from the company there, current company. They need to develop their own pension planning as well. So that's where the financial intelligence comes in. Because governments, as you know, they're not very good at handling money. The Gen Ys, they can't count on them for a pension. So I've also tried to cover that in the book as well, that every Gen Yer is responsible for their own pension, because when they retire, it just seems to them that every year the pensionable age goes up 1 year. So these guys will never retire, you know, they're on their own.
Right. Now, what was in 2008 and 2009 when we came through the economic collapse worldwide, and obviously it affected Europe also in a very striking way. How did that affect the Gen Y? Was that a mark in changing the way they thought or the way they act?
I would say generally it affected Gen Y, but it probably affected a lot of people when a lot of us was downsized. And I think then you realize, well, what's the why be with a company for many, many years? Because why be loyal? Because as soon as the financial crisis comes, then they'll cut heads. Excuse me. But I would say generally in Europe, the governments were quite good and say, okay, do not release employees. We'll cover some of the salary, but send them home. And when the economy picks up again, we bring them back. So did it affect the Gen Ys? I'm not sure. But basically, they realize that, yeah, you're not going to get a job for life. As soon as the next crisis happens, then you're going to be cut again. And maybe then they're going to be more selfish and say, well, just look after number one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, is business coming back? How is the situation in Europe? How do you see, see things coming back?
Yeah, I do, Tom. I see things picking up in continental Europe. Things are starting to pick back up, and I think Germany is a driver behind that. UK is heavily driven by the property market, and the property market, of course, is driven by the cheap money coming into the economy. So the government's obviously putting some cheap money in there, and the interest rates are low. So there's more loans now for people to buy property, and that's certainly that's when people feel the property value's gone up, they think they've got more money in their pocket and they spend more money. So I'd say UK is starting to pick up now. The house prices are not up to a bubble to our level, but they're certainly up probably 10-15% than they were a few years ago, you know.
Oh, so it's more positive than anything else. So
a positive
feeling towards business and towards the economy.
Yeah, I'd say generally, yes, things are positive. There's no doubt about that. Yeah, it's positive. Obviously, the different industrial sectors maybe don't see it as so positive, but I'd say generally continental Europe and certainly UK, things are looking good, you know.
Well, you mentioned your son. Is that also typical for the Gen Y of wanting to go out and start their own business or do their own thing and being the entrepreneur?
Yeah, I would say that's right. Well, I've heard the term called intrapreneur, so maybe they're working in a company, but they also have their own company on the side, so an intrapreneur. So, yeah, even within my company, I'm hearing of those that have got a little company at the side, one guy selling barbecues. Even one guy that worked for me in Slovenia, he took some of his money and invested it in Bitcoin as an investment, and then he came in one day and said, I've made 2-3 years of my salary investing in Bitcoin and I'm leaving.
wow.
So, yeah, it's remarkable. So Gen Yers are more likely to do their own little businesses on the side, maybe website design or something like that. My son's pretty special because he said to me, Dad, I'm never going to get a job. I'm never going to work for anyone else. So I don't know if he's a typical Gen Yer. And it's difficult as a father to go along with that. I said, well, should you not get a job? He said, well, Richard Branson never got a job and Donald Trump's never worked for anyone. So why should he? So as I say, Tom, I don't think he's a typical Gen Yer, but it's going to be tough to get Philip into a job, you know.
I've gone through that too. I have three children, but my two sons actually both chose similar paths. They worked for corporations, and one day, you know, they just came home and said, I don't want to do it anymore. You really see that the career development, they don't see the career path. And what they both said, and I have to agree with them, I said, well, if I take all of this energy and apply it to something that I want to do and start my own business, I really have less to lose, and they really do. So, and they're both becoming a success in what they're doing and generating their energy. They found niches and sweet spots in the market and really applying everything that they learned formally in schools, but to their own company. So, really can't criticize them for that.
No, and I think it's the Gen Y are more likely to do that because the time of the big, massive corporations and jobs for life, as I said, and staying in a company for 40 years and getting the gold watch, those times are over now. So you may hear a few years and then you move on, but the Gen Yers are more flexible. They may have different careers, certainly many, many different jobs. Some may decide to have their own job, their own company, then maybe back into to the large corporation again. So certainly they're more willing to give it a go.
As we look across the corporate world, we see more and more companies through mergers and acquisitions. They're at some point the traditional companies, they've closed down or made a severe change overnight. One company buys out, company A buys out company B. And the next day, as you say, you go through the downsizing. Last week, my interviews with the person, his focus was on that, the downsizing. So, and really, that we see that here in Brazil, we see that in the States, and I'm sure to some extent that happened in Europe as well.
It did, and that's always a concern. You've got a family to feed and a mortgage, and it's always a concern, and I think that's, and I try to talk about it in my book as well, you need to sort of build your passive income streams as well, so you're not relying on just one income. So although I have passive income streams, I still work for a large corporation just because I love my job. I love doing what I'm doing. It works to my strengths, and I'm passionate about that. I just love it. But I also build up my passive income as well. So, of course, if the day comes and the manager knocks on my door and says, Stuart, you're leaving, then I've obviously got a backup plan as well, and it's important you have that. So, and again, that's important that the Gen Y understand that, because there is no jobs for life anymore. And I think Gen Y generally, they are reluctant to trust large corporations. They will trust, what social media and what friends and family say, but maybe not everything that they read on the internet about large corporations.
Yeah, I saw that in things that I read. Even the loyalty towards brands is the same thing. They're large corporations, but they're very critical to products, to different trends. So, but also we also mentioned the looking out and taking care for their retirement. Do they realize that they're going to be living longer than we are? Is that a concern to them or not?
To be honest with you, I think obviously they're between 18 to 34 years old. Some of them aren't even thinking about their retirement now. I think they're just saying, well, I'm young, I'm healthy, just make as much money as I can at the time. I think some financially astute ones are thinking about their future, but it's probably unlikely. It's probably more 40, 50 year old will wake up and say, all right, I better get a pension, you know. But I know for sure, I wouldn't call it pension provision, because I don't like the thought of a pension and working to 65. I remember I insulted a woman one time where her husband retired, and I said to her, when are you going to retire? And she was quite insulted because she was probably about 10 years younger than her husband. And I said, retirement's not connected to your age. It's nothing to do with your age. Retirement's when you can build up your passive income that's greater than your expenses. And then you can say, okay, now I can do something else, you know. So I think some Gen Yers, because they're more entrepreneurs or entrepreneurs, they're probably thinking about, okay, how can I get multiple streams of income so that I don't need to work at a 9-to-5 job anymore? They can go around the world, take a gap year, go around the world, or work for charity work or give something back. I find more Gen Yers want to do that. Yeah, even
so do you feel that they have the community, the focus, and they want to do that sharing? They're more community oriented.
I would say they were. I would say they are rather. Again, in Luxembourg, there's charities here where you can go out into the streets and help the homeless people, or they can paint a youth hostel and give something back. And it sparked the interest of the Gen Y, and they really want to help in this way and do whatever they can. So I find that more Gen Yers want to give something back, give to charity. Or even if they go to a shop, part of the profits go to a charity or something like that, or renewable resources, they're more likely to buy a product like that.
Well, yeah, I guess you're the example. You mentioned before we started the program that even the income from your book, you return that to charity.
Yeah, it's my best friend, David Curry in the UK. His family, he'd three generations of his family that was blighted with multiple sclerosis. And it's so sad. It was like three generations. So he ran the London Marathon just a month or so ago. And I said, okay, any money I get from the sale of the book will go to that charity as well. Because, as I say, I've got a full-time job here and a very good job, which I really enjoy. The book is not there to make money, really. It's just to give something back. And if I can help a charity in some way, then I'm pleased I can do that as well, you know.
Now, do you use the book internally in the company? Is that part of your training tools?
No, I don't really. In my company, we use some John Maxwell materials. So John Maxwell is a leadership coach in the US. So we use some of his materials as well. I have sold a few books to people at work here. They've said, oh, you've written a book, and even a couple of guys from Brazil as well have bought it. So it's certainly in a few in Turkey, and it's all over Europe for sure. It's a global, it's in the US as well. So yeah, so a lot of people have bought it, a lot of friends, of course, and work colleagues as well. Yeah, I'm quite pleased.
Oh, yeah, did you see that? Is the Generation X really looking to understand Generation Y? Do you feel that?
Yeah, the book's not written that way. However, I think being a Gen X and Gen X manager, it's important that they understand Gen Y and how to manage them. What I've found, for example, the Gen Y can be quite demanding when it comes to salary increases and benefits and perks. Now, and I've got some really good Gen Ys, but when they're going to negotiate with HR, it can be really, really tough because the HR think it's like a Turkish bazaar and these guys are negotiating. But it's that. so So, Tom, the HR people don't appreciate that. So, but as a Gen X, you're trying to protect your team and protect your young guys. So you've got to negotiate between the HR guys and the Gen Y and say, okay, this is his thinking process here, and he's okay, and it's a good guy, and okay, he's trying to negotiate because he wants the best deal. But and even your boss's boss, who can be like a baby boomer or whatever, because now you know there's four generations in the market in companies now. Like, there was one guy in our company, he was like 72, and he just retired there a couple of weeks ago, right? So we've got people in here at 17, 18, but also the guy at 72. So they for sure don't understand. So when the Gen Y says, I'd like to go to a four-day week, because in the fifth week I want to do charity work or do my own thing, my boss's boss is saying, well, if he can do his work in 4 days, then I can remove one in four people. Yeah, so they're thinking it in a totally different way. It's a totally different way that they're not thinking the work-life balance. They're saying, "Oh, that's cost. I can save cost if he can do that in 4 days rather than five."
Or even worse, if we can do it in four, what do we need to do it in three? Right?
yeah, and count half the people.
I've been there, but and I agree with you. I look across the corporate spectrum today. Really, even here in Brazil, the baby boomer, you know, the persons above 50, they're few, even in the corporate world. So, they still exist, and that's part of the difficulty within the different generations. Looking at the baby boomers, the Generation X, Generation Y, and now we have the Generation Z coming on. And we even have the younger kids. We have the children are being born right now. What's the future look for them?
Yeah, and you're right, Tom. When you think about it, the old guy I mentioned, I'm 72. He's saying that I don't have a good enough pension, or the shares or investments I had didn't come good, so I need to stay at work longer. So they're staying longer, and of course they're healthy and they can live longer.
Right.
The younger ones, the Gen Y, some of them are saying, why should I bother going to university for 4 years, pick up a pile of student loans and debt, and then try and find a job? Why don't I just go in at 17 or 18 and try and find a job straight away? So there's quite a big spectrum now in the workforce, and it's trying to arbitrate that almost on a daily basis, you know. I'll give you another example. I was in Germany. I went into the office there, and my young Gen Yers got a big, massive screen. And it's a big, massive screen. Of course, the Gen X are sitting there, you know, why does he need that big screen? I said, well, the Gen Ys, they're fueled by technology. They like technology. They like the latest mobile device. They've usually got two mobiles with them. They want the big screens, and that's just what they like. Where the Gen Xer says, I'm happy with my little screen. That does the job. It does email as good as the big one, you know.
But really too, I have to say, I have to agree with the Gen Y, because I have a big screen here, and for me to handle my interviews, I have to be looking at four or five or six different sources and things open, so to have that on a small screen is tough.
Yeah, so maybe you're young at heart then.
I think so. Yeah. No, but back to Gen Y, we say they need a big screen because, you know, the flexibility, the multi-flex situation, they may be dealing with three or four different countries at the same time, or three or four different clients, and they have all these things open on their screen and maybe on their mobile, and, you know, it's all happening at the same time.
Yeah, it's not everyone that can cope with these multiple channels, though, with like text message, instant message, email, phone, sometimes just too much to take in for me, but for Gen Y, it's not a problem. They can cope with multiple channels. It's second nature to them. They've been studying for years with on video, YouTube, and then on the phone to people, and then obviously on the internet, and then doing the homework at the same time.
I agree, and I think that's good, because when we're looking at today's world is 24/7. If you're working in not only in a global company, but if you're working in the world, you really have to be able to communicate at any time of the day or night, because we just can't say that, you know, my day or my night is mine. No, it's just part of the global structure. There are people awake somewhere in the world all the time.
for sure the world's a lot smaller place than it used to be. I was thinking of a story. When we first had a phone in our house years and years ago in Scotland, we only got the phone because my father was a salesman. He travelled around Scotland, and the company said, "We'll buy you a phone." But my grandmother did not have a phone, so we would write a letter to her and post the letter and say, "Right, please meet at that phone box on Sunday at 6 o'clock." And we'd send the letter, and then we'd wait 3-4 days. Sunday, 6 o'clock, we'd phone that phone, and it was a public phone box at the top. So the whole process of communication took many, many days, and had to be pre-arranged. But now, of course, you can talk to anyone in the world at any time, and it's fantastic.
I agree with you. When I first came to Brazil, I came in 1970. Having a phone was a luxury. The cost of a phone was the cost of an automobile. So yeah. Few people had phones, and I can remember that. Even wanting to call my mother or relatives in the States, it was exactly as you said. I'd write them a letter and say, "Oh, I'm gonna," you know. And at that time, we'd go to a public phone system and wait in line to be able to make an international call, which many, many times didn't even go through at that time. So really, communication has changed. You know, with Skype and with everything else, it's real time all the time. So that has changed. So I think for this generation that's been brought up in this new, with this technology, it's really hard to explain to them that things were different in the past.
Yeah, they don't understand that, you know.
I'm not sure they really need to. Maybe they don't need to, because the past is past, and really we need to worry about the future, and the future is going to be different than today. So I think we're going to probably have children being born with chips inserted and an IP and GPS. So I think things are going to be different.
But sure, it's an exciting world.
yeah. Well, it is.
An exciting.
Well, do you have plans for another book?
No, not really. No, I've done the one. I've achieved what I wanted to do. I might in the future, but I've not got a lot of time. As I say, I've got a busy job, so I don't have time for these things. But I took another.
No, but a book is, you know, back to the personal branding. It is, I think, one of the key elements to personal branding, having a book.
Yeah, I think it has been good, because when you do talk to people and say, "Yeah, I've got a book," they go, "Wow, that's amazing." And the first thing you say is, "How do you find time to write that?" So, yeah, it took some time. But in a way, let's say it took 40 years to write, because it combines a lot of my knowledge over many, many years. A lot of books I've read as well. So there's lots of quotes from like Napoleon Hill and Abraham Maslow, these people, John Maxwell, and in the bibliography, they're all listed. So if you want to learn more about these people, then a good bibliography as well. So I think it's a good resource for, as I say, the sort of Gen Yers. And I know you've got a Deco in Brazil as well. And there's a guy that works for a Deco. He read it and gave a little review. And he said, you know, it's a good resource for Gen X and older as well. It's not just for Gen Y.
Right.
So it was written for them.
Well, very good. Well, Stuart, I want to thank you again for being part of the program. We're running to the end of our time, and again, thanks for sharing your evening, our afternoon, the afternoon in Los Angeles with our global audience. So thanks again, and good luck with your book.
It was a pleasure being on the show. Thanks very much, Tom. Good afternoon.
Okay. And I want to thank our global audience also for being part of today's program, and remind everyone, I'd like to invite you all to visit our newly updated website, talktobrazil.com, and follow the links to other topics of business news. There you'll find the Talk to Brazil Business Directory, where you'll find competent professional service providers in Brazil, and all the past interviews, as well as today's interview with Stuart Howard, and also links to his LinkedIn profile and website. So you can always download all Talk to Brazil interviews on iTunes and Stitcher, so that you can, in any of your mobile devices, listen on demand. So today's program was brought to us by Focus MI Marketing Intelligence. And Focus MI specializes in market research in the ever-growing agribusiness sector and also the heavy earth-moving equipment market of Brazil. For more information about Focus MI, check their site, which is focusmi.com. And by Spin Tours, Business Tourism by Eliana Souza, She's the specialist in inbound visits to Brazil by high-profile and C-level business executives. You find more about Spin Tours at spintours.com.br. So with your suggestions or comments, you can send those to me, and that's Tom at Talk to Brazil. Also, find me on Twitter, where our handle is Talk to Brazil. And on LinkedIn, you can join the Talk to Brazil group and follow our discussions. So remember, when you talk to Tom, you talk to Brazil and the world. This is Talk to Brazil with Tom Riach, live on LA Talk Radio, Los Angeles, California. Goodbye, and hope to have you here again next week.
You're listening to Talk to Brazil with Tom Riach, right here on LA Talk Radio.